Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated. Visit MySpecialMortgage.com. That's MySpecialMortgage.com.
104.3 The Fan presents Big Al and D-Mac with a big story of the day.
Now, here comes Alfred's 50th birthday.
Oh, the big fella.
He was a high school kicker.
Oh.
He made his first kick. Now he's at the 10-yard line. He lines it up.
Oh, he slide. He slides to the low.
Oh, then he just crisscrossed that. What's a crisscross move right there?
That's a
Alfred.
Oh.
Alfred just did a crisscross move. He's approaching the ball. The kick is up.
Oh, my goodness.
And it is
good. It would have been good from 40.
Holy moly.
It would have been good from 40.
Alfred Williams.
The gout must be under control today.
And indeed, we do not, by the way, because... which is remarkable. We don't have the call from 50-yard line because apparently we were in a commercial break. But on his 50th birthday, in a very lighthearted, fun sort of competition, Alfred Williams never ceases to amaze us. And amongst a litany of amazing athletic accomplishments, I mean, we're talking national championships and Super Bowls and College Hall of Fame. The fact on your 50th birthday, you dunked a basketball in the morning and later in the afternoon, you kicked a 51-yard field goal. I mean, I'm not even really sure what to say.
Well, I'm just awesome.
I'm not going to argue with it.
I think when everybody saw it go through, they were like, did that go through?
Well,
I'm like, it went through.
It was crazy because it was actually a little bit hard to see. It's not like it smoked it by, you know, a million feet.
No. It was like it cleared it by maybe a yard.
But there were a couple of high school kids like we were when you kicked it. It looked good,
right?
But
and we weren't like,
did that actually go in? And then the high school kids realized because we were all kind of like, what happened? And then they put their hands up.
Well, we have video.
Oh no! I'm not even questioning it. I'm just saying that it took a second for it to register. Like it took a second for all of us to realize what had just happened. And just for some context, you did it when the pressure was on to do it. Like you weren't like Stokely, who is still probably wailing away at it right now. You know, and by the way, Stokely physically is more than capable of actually doing it. I mean, Stokely was kicking it far enough.
Oh, Stoke, man. Man, he's actually got...
Well, you left. You should have seen what happened.
Oh, I saw him. I saw him, like, put a few up from, like, that could have been good from, like, 60.
Dude, he didn't stop, though. He went, like, four different commercial breaks. And, yes, he had one. Stokely had one that he may have kicked. Total distance, 70 yards in the air. I mean, it was unbelievable.
But he didn't make it.
He never made it.
Okay.
He was missing left and right. And then in a moment that is going to haunt him for a long time, the first kick was ridiculously easy. Now, I had ACL and meniscus surgery 2 months ago. I had physical therapy this morning, and I talked to my PT guy about this. He goes, oh, are you nuts? No, I mean, maybe if you just stand there and swing your leg. And so that's what I did. I made it. Now, of course, Cecil, who, I don't know, he's got an athletic bone in his body. He missed it, and other folks, you know, were all over the place. But when Stokely got up there, I'm talking a 15-yard field goal, Al. I mean,
he just
bludgeoned
it.
He bonked it off the left goalpost. I mean, high on the left goalpost. The fact that he just couldn't, in a pressure situation, just relax a little bit and just, you know.
All right, just punch it through.
I mean, it's a layup. Literally, it's the easiest kick you could possibly make.
It's a layup.
Dude, I made the
kick. There are no 5-yard field goals in football.
I made the kick. I just stood there and swung my leg, balanced by a leg that had ACL surgery 2 months ago, and made it. For Stokely to miss the first one, I think he's going to have a
hurt. That may have hurt a little bit.
But his competitive nature with things is admirable. You see...
Oh, my goodness. He just kept on going back out there in every commercial break. I saw him go out there. I was like, wow, what is he doing? He's got his wig on. I mean.
Dude, I just got to ask you, I guess, on an interview, how did it feel to actually make that kick? Seriously, how did it feel?
It felt good. You know, I mean, everybody is, all of my friends have been giving me a hard time. You know, hey, welcome to the 50 Club, all you old man now. And, you know what, man, I went out today and played a little basketball with my boy. You know, I was able to come over and hang out with you guys, and they're still fairly athletic. Thank you, Spine One.
Fairly. Yeah, what a great endorsement for them.
Right. I mean, I feel good. I keep on saying I feel good. I feel good, man. I feel good. I'm solid, man. And I'm
The aerobic
starting to fit in some of my my old gear, so I'm feeling even better about that.
I'm so happy for you. You know, the aerobic thing is, you know, that kind of comes and goes with all of us with age. What are you going to do about it necessarily? But the pure aspects of athleticism. You're gifted, dude. I don't know what else to say. I was happy for you, proud of you, impressed. Like, when you moved it back, you know.
Everybody was like, oh, okay, now that's enough.
Well, everybody got kind of quiet.
They're like, oh, whatever.
Everybody got a little quiet.
When it went through, man, I'm telling you, I felt so good. But we had to, we had the great Brandon McManus over today, man. As B-Mac, as everybody calls him, and he's such a good dude. Coming over to help out.
Absolutely.
That's nothing, fam. That's child's play.
It's nothing, and that's why it's got a...
You think Stokely is stinging about it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, just imagine the guy who cooks, he'll kicks that routinely. In his sleep.
Routinely.
And has for years around here.
It's just a tough deal to deal with. It's just a tough thing to
have. Maybe the conversation would be a little different if he would have made that around here this week. But
maybe.
I've been inspecting these games and how close they've been. But, this is a bottom line business, D-Mac, but much better competitively than we have been in the past. And, that's one of the things that at least the crews that I played on that have won championships – we've all been very, very competitive. When I saw everybody from the fan out there kicking, I was like, I'm going to win this. And certainly, Stoke did. That's why he was so heartbroken.
Well, it's got to be heartbreaking for Stokely because he's absolutely physically capable of doing it. He can really kick.
I had no idea he could really kick.
Me neither. Stokely's a ridiculous athlete, too, of course.
Oh, no doubt.
But not only, he lost in the first round. But he can definitely do it, and then he did stop because he started pulling a groin or something. He was trying it so much.
Okay.
Orlando did a great job.
Yeah, he did. The big old man. I think he made one from, what was it, about, how far was he out?
I think he made 30? Like 30, 35, something like that.
Okay.
Now, let me tell you, I played soccer my whole life, and I came out for the Colorado Crush tryouts years ago.
About when they had the open tryouts?
Yes, it was a goof. I was on KBPI at the time, and I went there as a goof. I made two from 35 yards, two out of three from 35, and I thought that was pretty good. Alfred, I don't care what kind of shape I've ever been in my life, and I've been in pretty good shape. There is no way on God's green earth I would ever get close to kicking a freaking 50-yard field goal. I mean, I don't care where.
It was funny to me.
Care where I've been in my life. I cannot believe you did that. So
I looked over. I looked over at you, and you had this look on your face, like, what?
I couldn't believe it because I feel like almost anybody who's in okay, decent shape can kick. I don't think kicking field goals is really that hard, depending on the distance. Like, I think a 35 yarder is like, yeah, that's okay. I don't think it's that impressive. You go beyond 35 yards, and you're catching my attention. I mean,
I haven't kicked since my freshman year of
high school. An extra point in the pros is 33 yards, right?
Okay.
That's just like they're saying, and kickers hit that on a rate about 86-87%. The extra point used to be like 99.9%.
Right,
it was too easy.
I can make those.
Well, anybody can make those. but once you, because there's a mental part of it too. You don't really need to kick it all that much harder than you're kicking the short one. But you have to. It's like when you're, hey, it's a par 3. It's 145 yards. But guess what? You got to clear water. You got to clear 120 yards of water, right? How many guys put it into the drink on that one where if they just, you know, swung their golf shot, it'd be fine?
Right, right.
The mental aspect of sports is not to be overlooked. It's daunting. And you did it when the pressure was on.
Not really. I mean, we're just a bunch of guys hanging out outside. It's not like the game was on the line.
Stand.
But I love when the game is on the line. I've always, you know, and we talk about that a bunch on this show. Because of the way that I was raised playing football in Texas, it never felt like there was a big moment, you know, because it was all, you know, it was always so amped up. And, you know, when I got to college, it never felt like there was a big moment in college. Yep. And then when I got the pros, it never felt like there was a big moment in the pros, because when you start that way, you just kind of just build this, okay, it's go time. And when it's go time, you just go, you know, and usually when you find guys, you know, who have that trait, you know, if you find enough of those guys, then you win a lot of games.
Well, that's why you got to play games. Ultimately,
you got to play games. And remember, we had this conversation about draft picks.
Practice isn't enough.
When we started talking about draft picks, I said, were there big-time high school player?
Yeah, what was their level of competition?
Were they a big-time college player?
Right.
Well, then that's the guy you probably want to draft on your team to be a big-time pro. Because if you came out of nowhere in college and you had a good combine, that doesn't mean that you were, you know, that you have the stuff to be a big-time player. But those who check the box in high school, who check the box in college, then those are the guys that you look to bring on your team and keep adding those guys who don't know anything except success.
Mm-hmm.
I love the draft class because they got a bunch of guys who were big time high school, big time college, and captains in college to be part of this team. And for this team to build their depth and go forward and have the kind of success that we all want them to have, they have to keep doing drafts like they just did.
Now, what we do expect, though, and what's fair, is that Vance Joseph, the buck stops with you in terms of game management.
Yes.
So we do expect that you put the same effort and thought into game management as the players do in preparation to do their jobs. And football is determined by coaching more than any other sport I can think of. Baseball, you set the lineup, you know, you sit back and you hope it works out.
End of the game, basketball management comes up, but
a little
that's
bit.
That's an art form.
You know who your guys are, and you know who you want the ball, hands in the ball. There's not much debate about it. There's a chess game going on in football that's unlike anything else. And so if you feel you're deficient or you're not as experienced in that, then you need to simulate that somehow. And I don't know if that really happens. I would like to think it happens. I heard Rex Ryan with the morning show, and they asked him that question. And Rex said basically, well, no, I don't worry about that aspect of things because I've been through it so much. And you know what? I'm going to take Rex at his word for that because he's been a head coach a long time. He's had to make game management decisions for many, many years. Even if you were a high school coach, you would have to make game management decisions that are a big deal, even if it's a high school situation. The one thing VJ does not have a lot of experience with, Al.
Right, I heard you say this with Stokely earlier.
Is game management situations.
And D-Mac.
But now he's getting them, though.
He's getting it.
He's getting it.
But, you know, I'll go as far as to say, if you have coached high school football, then there's a lot of game management that you have to deal with, and those moments prepare you just as much as the college level or the pro level. And when I tell you guys out there that I really believe that coaching, especially, you know, big time coaching, you can interchange any high school coach with any NFL coach, given that same guy the exact amount of time to prepare for a game and put a game plan together,
mm-hmm.
and come out with a equally sufficient game plan for the guy who was coaching in high school last week, the guy in coaching in college,
right,
and the guys that are coaching in pro. Those guys are lucky enough to be coaching at the pro level. But there's no difference in setting up plays, diagramming them, knowing how they work, and the only difference is when you call the plays in sequence. Like those are the tough things, you know, like when we start talking about coordinators.
Yeah.
Calling plays in sequence it's hard because you have to have a way to get your guys going. And calling plays and sequence on defense is more about knowing your team and knowing how they get going. So when you know, and forget about them making a play, you got to know how your team gets going and how they work. And then as a head coach, you have to know how all of those fit together.
You know, last year when the Broncos were 3-6 at the
When your defense not playing well, maybe you go for it on fourth down.
Yeah. When the Broncos were 3-6 at this time last year, I mean, baby, it was 3-6. You know, it was like, there's no doubt about it. We are getting blown out of games. There is just nothing here. The Broncos 3-6 record here this year, hey, man, it could be 5-4. It could be 6-3. I mean, there are things. So it tells me the talent is better. The coordination is better overall. And we're having some bad luck. I mean, Brandon McManus missing a 51-yarder. Let's be honest, man. That's bad luck. It's bad luck. He hits those all the time. He's an incredible guy. He's a great kicker. He's a Ring of Famer for the Broncos. He was 11-for-11, and he had been perfect up until that Chiefs game this entire season. 11-for-11 when they won the Super Bowl year. Brandon, I wouldn't have another kicker in the NFL in that situation than Brandon McManus. Would you, Al?
No, I think that he is the personification of pressure. I mean, you were looking for a high pressure guy, man. Throughout that Super Bowl season and throughout his NFL career, he has consistently delivered.
So is it really that big of a deal if we got 6 or 7 more yards? Percentage wise, yeah. I mean, percentage wise, analytically, you probably should have run one play, Al. That would have been relatively safe. That could have picked up 6 or 7 yards, right? You probably should have. However, that being said, it wasn't the end of the day, and you were certainly in a situation where you could have won the game. You want to look at a play that was amazing. How about 4th and 8, and Case Keenum's the game's about to be over. He's about to be sacked. He gets the ball off, and Emmanuel Sanders makes a catch in traffic. Wow. I mean, on 4th and 8, dude, I mean, that was unbelievable. The Broncos easily could have beaten the Texans. They got a little unlucky. You know, I think 9 out of 10 times Case Keenum hits Demaryius Thomas in the hands, he walks in the end zone, and we beat the Chiefs. I really do believe that.
That was a big throw.
He missed it, but I think...
I'm starting to question...
But what's the difference?
What have we looked at with Case Keenum?
What's the difference between missing that pass and Brandon McManus missing the kick?
You know what? Now that you say that, nothing.
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 It's just kind
find
of,
a way to make that play.
It's a pinch of bad luck. 9 out of 10 times he makes that throw. 9 out of 10 times McManus
hits
that field
goal. It was cover 2.
He got it.
It was cover 2. He had the cover. The corner rolled up, and DT was streaking down the sideline.
He was there. It's a throw he's made a million times. Like McManus has kicked that field goal a million times. It just got a little unlucky. So when John Elway came out yesterday and said, hey, I like, you know, the path that we're on and we're not going to make changes, I'm fine with that. As long as we don't make the same mistakes twice, it's okay. And we have to accept the fact.
And we have not this year.
We are in rebuild mode. We are not in championship mode. So losing is okay as long as the right things are happening, as long as we can sort of just take a deep breath and say, it's not the playoffs this year. Bummer. But what positive things can we get out of the rest of the season? And if that means there's some disgruntled veterans, then so be it.
And you know what? This is why I love to talk about the salty veterans. Because I understand it. If you have salty veterans on your team, the negativity can roll from the top of that veteran group
no doubt about it.
The way through the rookies, you know, and without naming players, and I don't want to do that today. I saw some efforts a few weeks ago that made me go, what is that?
Right.
Like, why did you do that? And
right.
You're too young to play like that, you know, and then when I saw it, it just echoed the fact that, where are you getting this crap from? I almost cursed. Where are you getting that from? And if you have veterans quitting on plays, then the young guys will quit on plays.
That's right. They'll follow you.
Yeah. I mean, that's the way it works in this league. The veterans really hold a lot more clout and clarity to how your team will be, then the league will let on. But those guys are integral in all of your success because they have been there and done that. And one of the worst things that I did when I was an old salty veteran is kept on asking, why is Greasy playing? Like, why is he playing?
You probably wouldn't do that.
That's a negative right. That the team didn't need. But at the same time, I'm looking at Bobby Brister standing on the sideline.
Yeah.
You know, but
you're only 30 years old at that. Or 29, 30 years. You say you're a salty veteran, but you're still
31.
Young,
I was 31.
You're still a young person.
I'm a young person questioning the coaches and their decisions.
And as a 50-year-old, we're celebrating that today. You would probably advise your 31-year-old self.
Don't worry about it. Let's just go with him, support him, and do whatever we can. But as an athlete, man, you got to deal with the moment, the here and now. And the here and now for that time period was, I don't want to play with a young quarterback and watch him go through these growing pains.
Right.
Nobody wants to play with a young quarterback.
Well, veterans don't.
No,
but younger people would be fine.
Yeah, young guys that can learn to win together.
Yeah, they're
all
right.
Those are the teams that are, you know, like this Rams team that is playing. It's so much similar to the Seahawks when they were starting to roll up.
Yeah.
The Dallas Cowboys back in the day when they were starting to roll up. And you can see the whole group getting older together.
So this is a tough moment for salty veterans who are still young people. To realize there's
explain that again. Salty veteran.
You're a salty veteran.
Okay.
But you're still a young human being.
You're a young person. Got you. You're not even 30 yet.
No. But because you've been given so much, like Demaryius Thomas and his amazing interview that he had on
his
Denver
Broncos. His saltiness was apparent.
But he's still a young person.
Right.
And my bet is 10 years from now, DT will look back on that interview and be like,
didn't need to go there.
Why was I doing that? Like, what did I accomplish?
Yeah, we'll talk about that. We need to talk about that.
Yeah, and Rod put DT in. He put him in kind of a tough spot, to be quite honest with you. But we can go through the whole thing. He had some good points, and DT had some points that were just so bizarrely off.
It's ridiculous. That I can't wait to bring up at the Big 3 at 3:30.
All right.
And you know which one it is.
Well, let's get to that next.
Sandy Clef here to tell you about SCL Mortgage Special Circumstance Lending, locally owned and operated. And if you're self-employed or work on commission, this is the place for you. Bank statement loans are back. You don't need tax returns to do your loan. In some cases, the bank statement loans can be done with credit scores in the low 600s. MySpecialMortgage.com on the web, 303-790-2222, the phone number. SCL Mortgage, licensed by the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies, number 1200716.
It's Big Al and D-Mac with the Big 3.
Well, let me just start off with some hoops off the top, Al, and we'll get into DT, and I'm looking forward to that. But the win against the Celtics last night, and Jamal Murray goes for 48. Wow. Quality win. Great win at home.
All right, I'm on board.
You are. That's where I was going.
100% on board.
All right, that's exciting.
But
what do you want to say?
The Nuggets have created this persona, especially with Jamal Murray, is where they're becoming the bad boys. And I don't know if they want that, but they have started. The head coach talks that way. The players are starting to play that way.
Well, they aren't scared, are they?
They're not scared, but do you want that? I guess
hell
if
yeah.
You want to break through.
Are you kidding?
You have to have some of that. And it kind of reminded me, you know, if they keep this up, of the Jerry Sloan coach Utah Jazz. You know, we're going to play tough. We're going to give you everything that we got, and then we'll figure it out at the end of the night. That I can buy into. And last night, I think that was a cat move, you know, that Jamal Murray pulled at the end of the game to try to, you know, get over 50 when he did had a chance at the layup and missed it. But, okay, we can throw that to the side. Throw that bad ending, you know, the last 30 seconds of the game away. Outside of that, man, this team is taking monster steps with its young players. And that's something that I can really get into. And I don't know if I necessarily like Jamal Murray's demeanor. I remember last year, you know, he dribbled the ball right across Lonzo Ball's face. at the end of the game. And I was like, well, what is that for? Like, why'd you do that? You know, I'm like, well, you trying to... Anyway, but if he's going to be
he's on our
the
team.
Bag boy scorer for the Denver Nuggets and never back down, I'm taking him.
All right, bongos. Boom, boom, boom. Ah, come on, D-Mac.
Three!
D-Mac, yesterday, Demaryius Thomas said something in an interview that I have been saying for many years. How in the world is one of the most popular guys with the most tenure on the team not a captain?
Yeah, it's Captain Gates. We blew the lid off Captain Gates. So what we suspected was basically confirmed by Demaryius Thomas. The captainship is more or less a load of BS.
It is such a, you know, flawed system. I mean, you want to talk about some rigged voting on election day.
Yeah.
The voting for captains for the Denver Broncos and for every NFL team is the most rigged system that you'll ever see when it comes to sports, because the coaches accept all the votes. They say they're going to tabulate the votes and bring you back the results.
Right.
And it's never who you thought it was going to be. I'm like, how in the world could Demaryius Thomas not be the captain?
Well, after being the captain for 2 years.
Right.
And then not being the captain, it was a sign. And we said so. We brought that
how
to your...
How did Brandon Marshall not be the captain? Why is Todd Davis the captain?
Can I keep it 100 here? 100
go ahead.
With you?
You think it's because of protest, don't you?
Right. Do you really think John Elway and the Denver Broncos were going to name somebody a captain who has taken a knee?
Oh, ho, 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 ho. Oh, did that have anything to do with them being traded? With
that too, you're not going to be here next year anyways. By the way, and we got to go through the Demaryius interview
more. Oh, dude.
Yeah, it wasn't going to happen. But we know Brandon Marshall's not going to be here next year.
Those are two guys that were captains this last year.
Was Marshall a captain last year?
Yeah, I believe he was.
I know DT was. Are you sure?
I mean, they gave him all the money. I mean, they make the captains the guys.
The defensive captains last year were Aqib Talib.
Oh, that's Aqib Talib and Von Miller.
Von Miller, you're right. Yeah. It wasn't Brandon. I don't know if he ever was.
But we know for sure it was Demaryius Thomas.
It was Demaryius Thomas and Trevor Siemian last year.
And I asked you then, how does Trevor Siemian get voted into being a captain?
Right.
And everybody just put their hands up in the air like... Because they voted him. No, he did not.
Dude, Todd Davis is a captain. What a joke.
Who voted that?
Bongos.
Three.
Alfred, in terms of the ramifications of Demaryius' interview, do you think there'll be any? Or is this just a bitter ex-employee sort of venting?
No, I think when you are a veteran player, you think that you're owed certain things, and... Because you think that you're owed certain things and you voice them doesn't mean that the team really owed you anything from the beginning except your salary that you've earned. So I don't pay it any attention. Coaches have to tell you that don't believe the trade rumors. What else are you going to say? Hey, listen, don't get hurt out there. We want to trade you. No, you don't say anything like that.
You
go out there and tell a man, look, don't listen to that. There are a lot of rumors. We might trade you. We may not trade you. But you don't tell them we might trade you. You say, don't listen to that. Just go play hard.
I think the impact, there'll be something to it, but not a lot to it. But I want to dig into you about the details in just a little bit.
I want to say something. We've gone through company transitions around here with this station. We've met with our fantastic boss, Bob Call here, and he said the only thing that you can do is control the product that you put on the air. You can't control who owns the team. You can't control the management that manages you.
That's correct.
All you can control.
You can gripe about
you
it.
Can
you may not do any good.
He said, if you want to remain a valuable commodity, come in here. Even with that, there was a period where we had no ownership, where we were in the dark about what we were going to do. And every day we had a decision to make. Do we gripe about that or do we come in here and have a good time and hang out with the fellas and do a great show? I look at that the same way I look as players. But once again,
it's hard.
A young person that we're dealing with.
Right. And the middle school mentality with gossip just it permeates the NFL. It always has.
But
we got to talk about it in depth.
Listen, man, we made a pact that we would not let that impact us.
Right.
And I think we've done a good job of just making sure that every day that we come on the air, we come on the air with the right idea to have a good show. But we're also talking about us as adults versus those guys
And by the way,
mid-20 guys.
That is true. But there were people we don't work with anymore that were once here. So it's not like there haven't been changes.
It doesn't matter, but I'm just saying, but we're responsible for our effort.
That's true. Bongos.
Three!
All right, when we come back, Thomas Harding will join us. Was this a dark day, a sad day for players on the Rockies we've loved for years and years? Details next.
It's The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
I can read Amendment A if you want.
Amendment A for me, please.
Let me bring Thomas Harding on. Hi, Thomas. How are you?
I feel good. I feel clean.
I love
happy
it.
Happy birthday, Big Al.
Yeah!
Appreciate it, buddy. Hey, man, did you go out and vote today?
Yes, I actually voted early. So
okay, cool.
Me and my entire family, we are all voted up, baby.
Yeah, baby. We got 7 votes in our house, and we used all of them.
Here's Amendment A. Shall there be an amendment to the Colorado Constitution that prohibits slavery and involuntary servitude as punishment for a crime, and thereby prohibits slavery and involuntary servitude in all circumstances? What the hell does that mean?
That means that if the prison can't make you go to work, but you started off calling it slavery.
So wait a second. Should I vote for this or against this?
I don't know.
Thomas?
That's a personal deal now. I'm not going to tell you how to vote.
I don't tell people how to vote, but I know exactly how I vote.
I know that's right, brother. I know that's right.
I don't think I can vote for something that includes slavery, though. I mean, it's a weird thing to read.
Oh, my goodness. As soon as I saw that, I was like, I know I'm voting on this one.
There are states where unpaid internships are illegal.
Right. Well, we faced, actually, to be more serious here, we don't even have interns anymore because of class action lawsuits based upon labor that wasn't paid for. So we stopped having interns here at the radio station maybe a couple years ago. So it just doesn't happen, which is, to me, feels unfortunate, because if it wasn't for internships, I don't know about you, Thomas, and your journalism career, but if it wasn't for unpaid internships, I would have had nothing.
Well, I'll tell you, as far as that goes, I went through a period. I wrote, actually, coming out of high school and in between colleges. And then there was one semester, I'm from West Virginia, I went to college in Iowa. And I got sick. I had a really bad case of mono, so I was going to set out a semester. Well, they didn't have an internship for me, but I covered high school basketball games, and I joked because I was writing for food, meaning that one of the other reporters would take me out to dinner, and that was my payment.
Yeah, I mean, that's the way it starts in the beginning.
However, I will say this, that, to put in a good word for MLB.com, when we began our internship, we looked at, there was talk of an unpaid internship, but then we looked at all the states where Major League Baseball teams are, and we had to at least rise to the level of the most restrictive states, and that is why our internship program has become so good. I mean, there are people all over the country working in the media through our internship program because we were competitive. So
you have paid internships, basically, right?
They were paid internships, and basically whatever the biggest restriction was, we had to at least meet that. So we competed with everybody else, and the people who had unpaid internships, well, we got, the people that deserve the paid internship, and it really helped us.
Yeah, because you got a higher grade of people working for you.
It was very competitive.
All right, I'm going to relate this to baseball, Thomas. Watch this. It means if you're willing to pay the money, you get a higher level of performance. So
to a certain extent, yes.
Well, you would expect to. And so you have to explain to us today that DJ LeMahieu, Carlos Gonzalez, Adam Ottavino were not extended a qualifying offer. What does that mean?
Okay, the qualifying offer would have meant that each of those guys would have been paid $17.9 million for this year. Okay?
Woo!
Now, if you look at it, for next season, if you look at it, Wade Davis set a record, I believe, for average annual value for a pitcher, guy who was a closer, World Series ring, and everything else, and he got $17 million. Uh-huh. DJ LeMahieu got $8.5 million, and I think Carlos Gonzalez, it was, what, in the $7 million. So a raise that high, they weren't going to get that on the open market.
All right, so there's nothing...
It does not mean that they're not going to sign them, and
okay.
Then, boom, we're not signing these guys.
So what is the likelihood? Does that mean that these guys, like Ottavino, who's got to be a commodity on the market... He is in the free agency period now once he goes, once the league year starts, right?
Well, they're all going to be free agents,
that's
right?
That's what I'm saying, but can they retain, do they have an option to negotiate with him even before, can the team still negotiate, I guess, is what I'm asking.
Well, up until last Friday, they could sign only with their previous team.
Mm-hmm.
Now, since last Friday, they are on the open market, meaning that you're competing with everybody else.
Mm.
I think what a great sport to be a player.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Only for essentially 3 days after the World Series did your home team really have an advantage. After that,
it's crazy.
You're competing on an open market. It's a great thing for a player.
Oh, right, it's
you're going to find out your value quickly because your team has to jump, and you just have to say, well, you have to jump higher.
You know, it's so hard to get there, but gee whiz, Thomas, once you do get there.
To be a free agent?
No, to be a Major League Baseball player.
Even longer though to become a free agent.
Yeah, it's you have to go first through the
arbitration.
Yeah, 3 years of 3 years of arbitration. Or in some cases, four. Like Nolan Arenado, he was eligible for arbitration after 2 years. So basically, it's 6 years in the major leagues before you're eligible for free agency. And that's not including the minor league time to get there.
All right, well, let's handicap it. Cargo, I would say, would be just similar to last year. If he's still around, he's still available, you never know, that sort of deal. Would you agree with me on that?
I would agree. I'm not sure on this. I'm trying to get an answer on it, but here's what I'm wondering. Is Cargo in the same category of Gerardo Parra? Parra became a very good bat off the bench in a late-inning substitute. Mm-hmm. Do teams still see Cargo as a starter? If they do, then probably the Rockies won't be in it.
Right,
if Cargo is willing and the market says it, could he be your guy off the bench? Then that's something that you could look at. I do think that Parra would be a smart sign for the Rockies.
Well, this brings me to another point. After watching the World Series and the Red Sox, who really was a starter for the Red Sox besides Mookie Betts? Like, who else would you say, oh, yeah, he's in the lineup every day no matter what?
Well, I think if you're looking at that, and let's compare it to the Rockies, and I'm actually working on a story that will come up later today on there just about this very point. What's happening in the game, whether it's the Red Sox or the Dodgers, is there are a lot of guys who play a lot of different positions. They could start at a lot of different positions, or during the game,
mm-hmm.
they could move to a lot of different positions, and that's what you want. A lot of those American League teams, because they have a designated hitter, number one, they have 10 starting-level players
mm-hmm.
as opposed to 9, so
right.
there isn't that drop-off. And then, if you're able to move them from position to position, that's fine. How does this relate to the Rockies? Other than their catcher, which will probably, Chris Iannetta and Tony Walters, he does go to other positions, but you'd never start him.
Uh-huh.
And Nolan Arenado, you could move any of those guys. Actually, Trevor Story is a very good shortstop, but he's coming up. He played a lot of second base and some third base coming up.
Why couldn't Ian Desmond play second base?
That could be possible.
Right.
But so could... Ryan McMahon plays second.
Why not?
Ryan McMahon,
he's
a very good second baseman. Same with Garrett Hampson, who also can play center field.
Right.
So they're building this roster that's a lot more flexible.
Gotcha.
Why I'm suggesting on the open market that they pick up someone like a Marwin Gonzalez from the Houston Astros, a guy who got MVP votes last year. And on his baseball card, I don't know what position they put on there. He came up as a shortstop,
right.
but he's played equally in left field, second base, third base,
right.
and first base.
Yeah, it's fascinating. And so you see the Rockies going in that. I see all of baseball going in that direction after what the Red Sox did, to be quite honest with you, that you don't have the lineup anymore the way we always thought of it. You have baseball players, and the lineup could be different every single night.
Well, I know a lot of organizations were doing this, but actually in those 4 or 5 years since Jeff Friedrich has been kind of in charge here, you look in their minor league system, before a guy gets to the major leagues, he's going to play multiple positions, like Brendan Rodgers, who has already played second base, shortstop, and will be introduced to third base next season.
Mm-hmm.
Trevor Story the same way. Mm-hmm. All of their outfielders play all three positions. The question will be, do they go to Charlie Blackmon and say, hey, Charlie, to help us be able to mix and match better, can you play in a corner as opposed to just simply being in center field?
Right.
So this has been going on for years throughout baseball. Yeah, the Red Sox are there. If you look at it, actually, I thought that part of the germ that got this going, remember when Joe Torre had the Yankees and he had a bunch of switch hitters?
Mm-hmm.
So the offense was very movable that way, and it just stood to reason that at some point, especially when Ben Zobrist came along, guys like that became... and before him, Placido Polanco. These are guys who play multiple positions at a starting level. So that's what I think
okay.
we're seeing more of in the game.
Thomas, last thing I'll have for you. As we get ready to go into free agency, is the idea here to find guys, more guys that hit for average or hit for power if you're the Colorado Rockies? Because last year was the lowest amount of hit in franchise history. I mean, how do we combat that? Do we go for power or do we go for average?
I think you try not to. There are a couple of things that I see here. Number one, you try to find just good hitters, guys who can hit for average and some power, because there were times, especially at home, that the power was really needed. So you need guys who hit for average and power. And also, I think if you're the Rockies, and this is something that a lot of the bigger market teams don't necessarily have to do, you have to say, okay, over a period of, you know, two seasons with an injury year, they developed David Dahl into a starting player. Who steps up next? You know, they develop Trevor Story. Does Ryan McMahon next year get more at-bats and become more of a force in the lineup? Does Ramel Tapia finally break through? So there's got to be a little bit of that. So you're going to look for something on the market, preferably an everyday player. Hey, if not Gonzalez or Josh Harrison, maybe you do get an outfielder like A.J. Pollock. But after that, there's still an element of your own guys have to produce. I mean, if their hitters produce the way the pitchers produce, we wouldn't be having this conversation about free agency. You just plug in a guy from the system.
All right.
It's taken them a little bit longer.
Thank you, Thomas. We got to run. We love talking with you and catching
Stay
up with Thomas
clean,
Harding
my man.
From MLB.com. Football
clean.
At 4 comes up next.